you have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 4. Jesus rocks. Wow. Hey, I will give $20 if anybody has that on video. See, if you have that on video, do you have that on video? See me right after the service. That baby's going on Instagram. Jesus rocks. Okay, wow. You know, as a missionary, missionaries have a lot of stories they could tell. Because when you're trying to learn a language, you know, the different tones, especially the Asian countries, they have all different tones. 4 different tones, 5 different tones, 8 different tones. In the Lao language, ma means dog, horse, come. So if you get it wrong, you could be calling your wife a dog or something, you know. So you have to be careful. But one of the funniest stories I've ever heard, by the way, Brother Board has some really good ones. But one of the funniest stories I ever heard was a missionary, I believe he was in the country of Nepal. I don't know if I've ever shared this here before, but he would preach, and he was preaching in the Nepalese language. And as he was preaching, he would be preaching about the harvest, you know, getting a vision for the harvest, and we need more laborers in the harvest, and the harvest is plenteous, the laborers are few. And whenever he would preach a message like this, the congregation would just start laughing. And he had no idea why, because it was not anything funny. So he would often stop. He'd say, hey, what are you all laughing about? And if you know anything about that part of the world, they will not do anything to offend you. They'll lie to you before, they will. They'll lie to you before they say anything to cause you to lose face, to offend you. So he would say, hey, what are you laughing about? And they didn't want to tell him. And this happened over and over and over again. So one day he's preaching a message about the harvest fields, and we need laborers, and he's preaching, and the people just start laughing. He stopped. He had enough. He said, that's it. I am not going to preach for you anymore until you tell me what you are laughing about. They didn't want to tell him. He said, I'm not going to preach for you anymore. And finally, one of the saints stood up and said, well, you keep telling us you lost your pants in the harvest fields. Jesus rocks. Okay, but anyway, let's all stand. It is so good to be here. It's always good to be back home. We're thankful for Pastor Myers and the staff and the church family, Pacific Baptist. It's a blessing to just see all the people here. Had a chance to meet Ian today, got saved. How long ago? Last Saturday, answer an ad to find a snowboard. You know, John's into snowboarding, and he went to get a snowboard, got a snowboard and the Savior at the same day. Somebody say amen. Now John has somebody who will actually go snowboarding with him. So praise the Lord. It's always good. Every time I come here, there's a story like that. You know, the last time I was here, I think it was last time, Brother Bird's leading a guy to the Lord who thought he was coming into AA. And thankful for a church that is concerned about reaching souls for Christ. And whether it's people coming in here by accident thinking it's AA, or people going for a snowboard and finding the Savior, they're all going to heaven. Somebody say amen. Luke chapter 4, we're going to read verses 16 through 19. I'll read out loud. You read along with me silently. This morning and this evening, part 1 and part 2 message on trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. And we'll see how far we get this morning. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And then he's going to quote, he actually mingles two verses, Isaiah 61:1 and Isaiah 42:7. He's going to read these words. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me, which means designed me to set me apart for a purpose. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're so thankful for your goodness this morning, your grace that Karina just sang about. Even after over 40 years of salvation, your grace still amazes me. Well, this morning, we're so thankful, Lord, for the salvation that you have offered us that's so rich and so free, and it's by your grace. And Father, this morning, we're thankful for everyone who's here, and we pray, Lord, that you would bless our time together this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray, Lord, that you would empower me with your spirit. I pray, God, that I would only say the things you would want me to say. I pray, Lord, that Christ would be exalted and honored, your people would be blessed and encouraged. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Wow, it's actually warm in here. You don't mind if I take off my jacket? I have been freezing since we've been here. Of course, my wife and I live in Southeast Asia, and if it gets 76 degrees, everybody gets the winter coats out. And I get up in the morning, and it is just like absolutely really cold here. I don't know how anybody could live in Southern California. It's so cold. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, of course, for 400 years, we have what we call years of silence. For 400 years in Israel, it looks like, it appears that God had been silent. From the last prophet to the time of Christ, a 400-year period goes by. All of a sudden, the Lord Jesus comes, and we don't have time to go into all the background, but the Lord Jesus comes, and for about 30 years, he's just living in Nazareth, just a carpenter's son, doing carpentry work. Then all of a sudden, in Luke chapter 3, Jesus gets baptized. In early part of Luke chapter 4, he's in the wilderness. He's tempted by the devil. And then if you do a chronological study of the Gospels, you go back to Matthew, you see that Jesus begins to recruit some disciples. And Jesus begins his public ministry. Then he returns back to Nazareth. Nazareth is his hometown. And Jesus shows up, and of course, he's already started his public ministry. He's done a little bit of ministry with his disciples. If you study all the Gospels, you see this. But he returns back to his hometown for the first time. He goes to the synagogue, and what was normal and natural, they would be sitting in the synagogue, and they would have, one of the rabbis would have somebody come up and read the scripture and give what we would call a sermon, share from the Word of God. So Jesus comes, and no doubt they're a little bit curious because this is the Jesus they've all known his entire life. He grew up there. And they're hearing reports about Jesus. And so they invite Jesus up, and Jesus comes up, and he reads these words from Isaiah 61. And again, it's a compilation of Isaiah chapter 61 and Isaiah 42:7. And he reads these words, and I'll read them again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And of course, I understand this year, what a wonderful theme. Reaching them. Everybody say reaching them. Reaching them and teaching them. So Jesus, as he reads these words in the synagogue before family and friends, basically, what Jesus is doing, he's explaining his purpose. Can everybody say purpose? Purpose. He's explaining his purpose for coming. I'll never forget Ron Chow years ago was sitting on the back row. I was preaching, and his ringtone went off, and it was birds. The tweet, tweet, tweet. Just looking around. Anyway. So Jesus is given his purpose. And basically, in this portion that we just read, his purpose is reaching them. Everybody say reaching them. Well, if you go to John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me, so send I you. So if the purpose of Christ was to reach the lost and to reach the poor and reach those who were in captivity, we need to understand this morning that that's your purpose and my purpose. And whether it's in our Jerusalem here in Long Beach, Judea, Samaria, or to the uttermost parts of the world, you and I are to be reaching. Everybody say reaching.
Reaching,
reaching people. Everybody say reaching people.
Reaching people.
Reaching people for Christ. But I want us to go to Isaiah 61 this morning. Let's go to Isaiah 61. And I'd like to take a few moments this morning and just sort of lay a foundation for this evening, but give you something this morning you could go home with. Again, Jesus, as he's standing in the synagogue before his family, before his friends, he's quoting, he's reading from Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 42:7. He sort of puts two scriptures together to reveal his purpose. If you only read Luke chapter 4, verse 18, you're going to think reaching them. Everybody say reaching them. If you only read what we just read a few moments ago from Luke chapter 4, you would think, well, you know, the goal of Jesus' ministry was simply to reach people so that their sins could be forgiven, they could be released from captivity. But it goes a little bit further than that, and we'll see that in Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, which, by the way, Jesus does not mention. Luke chapter 4, there's reasons for that. We don't have time for that. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. By the way, let me just say this. When Jesus reaches us, when Jesus uses somebody to come and reach us with the gospel, everybody say reaching them. When Jesus came knocking on your door, and when he came knocking on my door, you know what he did? He took the ashes of our life and replaced it with beauty. You know what Jesus did? I'll never forget Pastor Myers. His mother was a member of our church for many, many years, Dorothy. Many of you don't know this. Pastor Myers used to live upstairs from us for about 6 years on Cherry and 60th. His sister used to drop love letters to me right down the... Anyway, but that's another story. But he used to live upstairs from us. And so Dorothy knew my life. I'll never forget. She was sitting right about where Miss Olma is right now. I went over there and said, Dorothy, how are you doing? Good to see you. And I forget why she said this, but she said, boy, you've changed a lot. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
Beauty for ashes.
Yep.
Why? Because Dorothy Myers saw me one day at the age of 16 years old laying in a drunken stupor on the ground right outside her window. And you know what? Because I got reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ, a life that was worthless, a life that was I was on my way to hell. My life was just a mess. Jesus reached down and he saved me. Somebody say amen.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, you never ought to get over that. Somebody say amen. And you say, well, I grew up in Sunday school. I was a good person. There are none good in the eyes of the Lord. And when Jesus comes and when we're reached with the gospel of Christ, he replaces the ashes with beauty.
Yes, sir.
He gives the oil of joy for mourning.
Yeah.
Man, that's good news, neighbor. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I can remember as a young person before I knew Christ, so much of life was depressing. Now, I would never have told you that. But there was such a void in my heart. But on January 17th, 1977, Jesus Christ saved me. Somebody say amen. Amen. And he replaced those ashes with beautiful. I'm not saying I'm beautiful, amen. Somebody, but with a beautiful life, amen. Some of you say he didn't replace your ashes. But anyway. The oil of joyful mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But notice the next word, that. Can everybody say that? That. Here's the whole thought this morning. God reaches us. God replaces the ashes with beauty, the mourning with the oil of joy. He relieves us of the burden. He changes us. That. There's a reason for it. That they might be called trees of righteousness. Could you say trees of righteousness?
Trees of righteousness.
The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
Yes.
By the way, that's what your theme's all about. We reach them. Could you say reaching them?
Reaching them.
We reach them and we teach them so they can be trees of righteousness.
Yes, good.
The planting of the Lord that he might be glorified.
Amen.
Somebody say amen. And so this year, your theme is reaching them and teaching them. And that really was the ministry of Christ. If you look in the Gospels, the ministry of Christ, he wasn't just reaching people. Can you say reaching them?
Reaching them.
He was teaching people. Can you say teaching them?
Yes.
Why? That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You know, as we change, as we walk with God and he makes changes in our life, people begin to see as we, God, by the way, God's not looking for us to remain little saplings. He wants us to be trees of righteousness that reproduce righteous fruit internally and externally. So as people, see, go to Matthew chapter 5, very familiar passage of scripture. I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5 in verse number 14 through 16, very familiar passage of scripture, says, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. Matthew chapter 5 verse 15, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but put on a candlestick that giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine. Everybody say, so shine. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Can everybody say reaching them? This year, your theme this year is to reach them. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? So that they can be saved. Why? So that their sins can be forgiven. Why? So someday they can go to heaven. Yes, all of those things, but it must not stop there.
Right.
We must give ourselves to teaching them. Can everybody say teaching them?
Teaching them.
Teaching them. Why? So that they can become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Their light will shine.
Amen.
And God will get glory.
Yeah.
By the way, as Christians, our life should constantly be changing.
Yes,
I think you've heard me tell this story, but it's been a long time since I told the story. Many years ago, probably in 1985, 1986, the late 80s, at sometime mid-late 80s, I was at a library in North Long Beach on Market just before Anyway, after Atlantic, between Atlantic Long Beach, by Lindbergh Junior High. Lindbergh was one of the many schools I went to and got kicked out of. Somebody say amen. But anyway, so I was standing, at that time I was pastoring, I was standing in line, I was going to send a package, and so I'm standing in line, and as I'm standing in line, there's a very notable looking black lady standing in front of me. She looked very, very familiar. I looked and I said, man, she looks really familiar. She looked like a teacher that I had at Lindbergh Junior High. And so I'm being a little nosy. I start, you know, I'm not very tall, so I have to just sit down on my tips, you know. Got to do one of these things, you know. And I sort of look over her shoulder because she's holding a package, and she's holding this package. And it said, T. Young. I had a teacher, Tina Young, Mrs. Young. And so I asked her, I said, ma'am, excuse me, can I ask you a question? I said, did you ever teach at Lindbergh Junior High? And she actually, if I remember correctly, she said, I still do. I'm thinking, wow, you've been there like since Moses gave the Ten Commandments. I said, wow. I mean, she was old. Anyway, I said, and I forget, I said something like, I used to be in your class. And she looked at me and she said, Johnny Esposito? Oh, yeah, you remember me? Straight A student. Not exactly. Not exactly. I used to smoke the stuff that was illegal. It's legal now. Illegal in her class. Amen. But by the window. Okay. I knew it was going to be legal someday, okay? And so she said, Johnny Esposito, Johnny Esposito. I said, yes. She said, what are you doing now? She figured I'd be in prison, you know? What are you doing now? I said, I'm a preacher. She looked and goes, wow. God works in miraculous way. Woo! Yeah. Somebody say amen. What am I trying to say today? The grace of God should still amaze us, and we should be committed to reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that somebody came and told you that there's a God who loves you? There's a Christ who died for you? There's a heaven that you could go to? All of your sins could be forgiven. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus Christ will save you.
That's right. Amen.
And will change you.
Yes.
And the amazing thing is this. You and I have been given the responsibility and the privilege to be a part of reaching them. We have been given. Jesus said, as the Father hath sent me. Jesus said, look, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free. And then Jesus said in John chapter 20, verse 21, as the Father sent me, now I send you. So this year, the entire church family at Pacific Baptist should commit themselves to reaching people for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whether it's bus kids, whether it's teenagers, whether it's adults, whether they're in Long Beach or a surrounding area, God has given you a sphere, an area to commit to reaching them. We're going to talk a lot more about teaching them tonight, but aren't you glad you're saved?
Yes.
Aren't you glad somebody told you about Jesus?
Yes, sir. Yes.
If we could, we can't, but if we could this morning, just take 10 or 15 minutes and have folks come up here. We'll start with John Castle. John, come up here for 2 minutes and tell us how you got saved. Prison, right, John? on your way. If we could come up here this morning and each of us and many of us come up and just take 2 minutes each and say, God reached me through this person. God reached me through this person. God reached me through this person. Somebody invited me to the church service on a friend day. Somebody invited me. You know, we had a special sports day. And, you know, somebody told me you could wear your L.A. Dodger. Ram fans. Can I get a Ram fan? How many of you are Ram fans now? Now, you weren't 3 years ago. By the way, Pastor Myers, you used to be. But you were a big critic of the Rams. But they needed to be criticized. But sometimes the truth hurts. Dave Blatchley, are you here? Dave usually leaves to watch the Ram games. That's what he wants you to believe. He's actually on his way to watch him practice. But maybe you came on a sports day and they said, look, I know you're big in sports. You can wear your Laker jersey, that type of thing. Maybe you were invited to a service. Maybe somebody knocked on your door, shared the gospel. Maybe a family or a friend just sat down. You guys had coffee together, shared the gospel. Look at all of us, our testimonies. They're all different. Yep. But really, they're all the same. Jesus reached down from heaven. You weren't looking for him. I wasn't looking for him. But aren't you glad he was looking for us?
Yeah.
Can I get amen on that?
Yeah.
So whether it's in America, whether it's in Laos, whether it's Cambodia, whether it's in Thailand, whether it's in China, all around the world there are people who can give the testimony that Christ reached down from heaven. He saved me.
Right.
And he changed me.
Yep.
You have that testimony also.
Yes, sir.
Our testimonies are different, but he didn't just save us so we can sit sour and soak. Somebody recently, and I forget who it was, somebody sent me a text or maybe a direct message or something, and they said, thank you. Oh, he was born Kong. He's in Cambodia now. Sent me a really nice direct message on Instagram and said, thank you for your example and thank you for your willingness to leave America in your 50s and all these type of things. And I just replied back. I said, thank you for your kind words, Bourne. But how can I do any less if Christ be God who died for me and saved me?
Yep.
So in 2019, today's Fresh Start Sunday, I want to encourage and challenge the Pacific Baptist Church family to get a fresh start. And a really good place to start is to say, I'm going to give myself to reaching others for Jesus Christ. Man, I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so thankful that in 1977 I got saved. The other day on Christmas Eve, we all got together at Trent and Annie's, my sister Annie's house, and the vast majority of our family was there. And I just stood and looked. Just about every one of them. Just about every one of them. To our knowledge, when I got saved, there wasn't a Christian in our family. Possibly Pastor Joe got saved when he was 14. He's just not sure if he got saved when he was 14 and got reassurance of salvation later. But I look back and I think, oh my soul. I've looked at that picture over and over again. His grace still amazes me.
Yep.
I wasn't looking for him. But he was looking for me.
Yep.
And they're not looking for him. But he's looking for them.
Yes, he is.
But may we never forget the way he looks for them is he uses people like you and me to go find them.
Yes.
So 2019 Sunday, fresh start Sunday, today's a good day to get a fresh start. Maybe last year you weren't telling people about Christ. Maybe you weren't committed to this thing. Maybe you were just, look at God is not looking for church attenders. He's looking for trees of righteousness. The planting of the Lord that he might be glorified. And he's looking for men and women who will follow in his footsteps in reaching them. And we must not stop, and we'll talk about this this evening, and teaching them. Let's stand. Let's pray.